Okay. Continuing with our discussion of the laws of Chol HaMoed. So, we mentioned how on Chol HaMoed, even though it is not, we don't treat it fully like Shabbos and Yontif. However, actually our mindset has to be that whatever we're going to be permitted to do on Chol HaMoed, and yes, there are things we are permitted to do on Chol HaMoed, we have to have a reason for it. Because we do have to treat Chol HaMoed like Yontif also. Which means that in anything that we do on Chol HaMoed, we have to look at it and say, is this something that I would have been able to, that I can do on Shabbos or on Yontif? The same way we have 39 Avos Melachos, we have 39 main categories of work with their subcategories that we cannot do on Shabbos and Yontif. In essence, we cannot do them on Chol HaMoed either, unless, as we said yesterday, unless we do it in a way that is not considered skilled labor, and it's needed for Chol HaMoed or for the Yontif itself. So now I want to share with you a number of illustrations regarding that. Number of cases. As I mentioned before, a lot of these illustrations come from a share that I heard from Rabbi Yosef Berger of Baltimore. So, for instance, on Shabbos, we cannot squeeze oranges to make orange juice. Okay? On Chol HaMoed, if you're squeezing the oranges to make orange juice for either Chol HaMoed or for the last days of Yontif, that you're permitted to do. To go ahead and to intentionally squeeze extra orange juice for after intentionally squeeze extra oranges to make orange juice for after Yontif, that you may not do. And as we said before, when you are doing whatever you are doing for either Chol HaMoed or for Yontif, you don't got to sit there and measure it out exactly, okay? You do it, you know, you go ahead and you evaluate how much you think you need. If there's going to be some extra, there may be some extra. That's not the end of the world. That's permissible. You can't intentionally go and say, okay, I am making this and this amount because I want extra for after Yontif also. So again, there is an example of something we cannot do on Shabbos and Yontif at all, right? You can't squeeze oranges on Shabbos and Yontif at all. On Chol HaMoed, I can do it for what I need for Yontif. Another example, which we...
For Chol HaMoed.
I said for Chol HaMoed. Whenever I'm going to say, if I say Yontif, right, okay, it means Chol HaMoed and the last days of Yontif. Okay. Cooking. Okay. We know that cooking we cannot do on Shabbos, cooking we can do on Yontif. Okay. Cooking I can do on Chol HaMoed for what I need for Chol HaMoed or for Yontif. I can cook Chol HaMoed for the last days of Yontif. It's not like on Yontif itself I can't cook from one day for the other. On Chol HaMoed I can cook from the first day of Chol HaMoed, for the rest of Chol HaMoed, for the rest of Yontif, but I can't go ahead and intentionally cook for something after Yontif. I mentioned last time, last year, my son Shragi's Ofrif was right after Pesach, okay? And, of course, you can't, as Richard pointed out, you can't bake challah on Chol HaMoed Pesach for the Ofrif after Pesach. But let's say, whatever it may have been, you know, if let's say it's Chol HaMoed Sukkos, there's going to be a simcha right after Sukkos. And you have time on Chol HaMoed, you want to go ahead and bake challah for the simcha you're having on Shabbos after Yontif. You can't do that. You cannot do that. Because of the fact that you are preparing for after Yontif. But what you need for Yontif, you could do. What you need for Chol HaMoed and Yontif, you could do.
What if Shabbos comes directly after the second day of Yontif? Like it's Thursday, Friday, Shabbos.
Right.
Make an Erev.
Can you...
Erev Tavshilin.
Well, you're not making an Erev Tavshilin on Chol HaMoed. It's an interesting question. Yeah, let's say it's a Shabbos that follows right after Yontif, like a three-day Yontif. Like, let's say you have Simchas Torah was on Friday. Right. Then you have Shabbos after that. Would you be able to go ahead and make from Chol HaMoed to Shabbos after that? Wow. That's a good question. I don't know what to answer.
Wow.
That's a good point. I don't know.
Wait, why wouldn't that be the same thing? It's
as
like
what? It would seem like it is considered for after Yontif, for not a Yontif need.
Right, but you can do it on Shabbos.
Excuse me?
I mean, you could do it on Yontif. You could do it on Yontif for Shabbos.
That's because you made an Erev Tavshilin.
Okay.
You're not making an Erev Tavshilin in Chol HaMoed.
Right, but you don't need to make an
Erev. Oh, I see what you're saying. Maybe, well, no, but he's saying
I don't know. Well, that's why
maybe you do.
I'm asking the question.
I don't know. That's a good question you're asking. I don't know what the answer to that is. I don't know.
Well, it can't be preferable to cook on Yontif for Shabbos over Chol HaMoed for Shabbos.
Yeah, well, that's the
weird again,
part,
the question is, though, if the whole reason that you're able to do it on Shabbos for on Yontif for Shabbos is because of the Erev Tavshilin, that's what allows you. If I don't have the Erev Tavshilin for Chol HaMoed, then I may not be able to do it. Well, I have to look into it. It's a good question. It's a very good question.
Yeah.
Okay. Another example. There are certain things we cannot do on Shabbos because it's considered building. Okay? So, for instance, let's say you wanted to go ahead. Now, again, this is not very practical for many reasons. But let's say you wanted to go ahead and screw in a light bulb on Shabbos. And there's no electricity going to go on. Just trying to bring out a point. Okay? You're screwing in the light bulb. There's no electricity going to go on, and I want to know, if you screw in a light bulb on Shabbos, is there a Torah prohibition? Is there a Torah prohibition screwing a light bulb on Shabbos without electricity going on?
According to the Chazon Ish, probably.
Without electricity going on?
Even without electricity.
You could say, Chazon Ish would be a deraisa, but let's just say, the answer is, you could have a deraisa called Bona. That's a different Bona of the Chazon Ish. This is a simple Bona. When you go ahead and you connect something to your house to stay there on Shabbos, that's Baina. Mm. So going ahead and screwing in a light bulb is Baina. Okay? Now, so therefore, on Chol HaMoed, if you need a light bulb, you screw it in. If you don't need a light bulb, you don't screw it in. That's how that would work on Chol HaMoed. Now, another example, interesting example. Okay, also, putting up pictures, right? Putting up a picture, you know, banging a picture on the wall. Mm-hmm. Okay? It could be, well, let's put it this way. If the point is, let's say, that, you know, you just painted your house right before Yontif, right? The walls are bare, right? So now you want to decorate the house to make it look nicer. That could be considered a need for Yontif. But decide that you're going to go ahead and now put up all the pictures you had before, right? Because, you know, once I'm putting up some picture, I want to put all the extra ones up that you wouldn't necessarily, that you wouldn't be able to do. Now, changing a tire. Changing a tire.
Does the hammer and nail make the difference? Like, what if you have all the nails are up there, but a picture came down or something? Then you then just hang it back up. What's the issue there?
The issue there is attaching is bona in the sense that you're trying to make it part of the house. So even putting it up would be a problem. Yes. Okay. Another example, which could either be considered building or what we call makab patish, putting on the final touches. Changing a tire. Okay. Changing a tire on Shabbos, which again, not very practical, but just for the sake of what's the malacha? What's the forbidden action that you're doing if you're going ahead and you're changing a tire on Shabbos? The answer is, it can be considered building, even though it's in a kli, it can be considered makabah patish. Okay, whatever it is, these are going to be the malachas that that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Now, let's say you need to change a tire on Chol HaMoed. Okay, so, well, if I need the tire because I need to be able to drive the car on Chol HaMoed, okay, I would be able to do so. Is changing tire considered a skilled labor or an unskilled labor?
Unskilled.
So, the answer would be that changing a tire, although there are many people who don't change tires, but there are many people who do change tires, it is not considered a skilled labor. So therefore, if it's unskilled labor, if you need it for Yontif, you'd be able to do so. Or you need it for Yontif. You need it for Chol HaMoed, right? You need it for Chol HaMoed, you'd be able to do so. Okay? Now, something else like something a little bit more intricate. You know, it's possible that, you know, you don't need to really be a mechanic to do other kinds of repairs in a car. But again, other than typically changing a tire, other repairs in a car are not typically done by people. There are some handy people, but they're not that typically done. And therefore, that would be considered a maisa umen. That would be a craftsman, a skilled craft. And even if you need it for Yontif, you wouldn't be able to do so. So if, let's say, a person, let's say, goes ahead and he comes out, you know, he finished doing all his errands for Yontif, okay? And it's right before Yontif, and he doesn't need his car anymore, and he walks out and he sees his tire's flat. Okay? In that situation, it may be unskilled labor to change the tire, but you don't need it for Yontif anymore. And since you wouldn't need it for Yontif anymore, you wouldn't be able to go ahead and change your tire in that situation. Another example. Okay, what we call giyutz, we call it ironing. Okay, ironing is prohibited to do on Shabbos and Yontif. Can you do it on Chol HaMoed? The answer is a simple ironing. Okay, that you need it for something that you want to wear on Chol HaMoed or on Yontif, you may be able to do so. If you look in Halacha, Halacha says that if you're ironing to try to make pleats, right, where you're trying to make a crease, that already is the Halacha considers that a act of a skilled labor, by Suman. That's brought down to Shulchan Aruch like that. So if you're just going at an ironing because you want to just, you know, simple ironing where you're straightening things out, that's not considered skilled labor. You need it for Yontif, you'll be able to do so. Taking something to a dry cleaner's.
Since you're already ironing, can you iron, just keep ironing?
No. You can only iron what you need. Just like everything else. As though there is not going to be a hetter to say, you know, once I'm ready doing it, let me do more.
Wait, can we go back to the Maisa Uman of ironing? So, like, I mean, couldn't it just be that, you know, back then when they didn't have, like machines that made, like, certain things so extremely easy that really, like, there are things today that would have been skilled labor back then but are unskilled labor today because the machine does and all the guy does is, you know, press down. So
yeah, so let's put it this way. I was about to say, you know, the kind of iron that they use at dry cleaners, yeah. That would be actually called the Maisa Umin because of the fact that most people aren't doing that.
Okay.
All right. When we're talking about, you know, using an iron, there are some people who actually can use a regular iron and make pleats and make things like that.
Oh, what you mean making pleats? It's not, you don't mean like with your pants when you like make the leg flat.
Yeah. No.
Like
when you have a skirt and you're trying to make
those
pleats in the skirt.
I had no idea what you think you're doing.
Yes. Okay.
That's hard. Okay.
So going ahead and let's say, as we said before,
I don't have those skirts.
That when it comes to Chol HaMoed, what you can't do, you can't ask a guy to do just like on Shabbos. Okay. So to go ahead the same way, you wouldn't be able to go ahead and use the dry cleaners pressing to press your clothing. You can't ask the dry cleaner to do so.
You can't ask a car mechanic to fix your car during Chol HaMoed?
If anything that you could do, if you need it for your Yontif, then you could. The skilled labor. I'm trying to stay now out of the skilled labor part. But yes, that could be a problem. But skilled labor would be a bigger problem. What?
Like, what if, you know, you need your suits directly for the second day's Yontif or something?
If it falls under the category of Maisa Uman, it's not going to help you. You can't do it.
Wait, so it's like Gezer against Amiras La'akum?
No, the same way there's Amira La'akum on Shabbos and Yontif, there's Amira La'akum on Chol HaMoed.
Right. But
it's the same halacha.
Okay.
Same halacha. Hmm. Okay? That's one of the derabbanans that do apply to Chol HaMoed.
Amira La'akum is not a...
It's out of the Raisa. Amir La'akum is one of the rabbinic prohibitions that does apply by Chol HaMoed. We will talk about other ones that will not. For instance, Muktzah. Right? There's no Muktzah on Chol HaMoed. Right? Muktzah moving something. No, there's no prohibition of Muktzah whatsoever on Chol HaMoed. But Amir La'akum, what we call Amir La'akum, telling a guy to do something, that the sages did apply to Chol HaMoed also.
Can you bring something in before the first days of Yontif and pick it up on Chol HaMoed?
That's a separate discussion. We will get there.
Okay.
We will get there. Clearly, that is not going to be the problem of Malacha. Right? Yeah. The Malacha was done before. Excuse me?
You don't know when they're doing it.
On Shabbos, if you have enough time to do it beforehand. I'm saying when you put it before, you take it out of the question of Malacha, forbidden activity. There may be other problems, but from that part, you're right. You're not going to have that problem. One last thing I just want to mention. Swatting flies. Yeah, can you swat a fly on Shabbos?
No. You cannot.
No, you cannot. Why?
Because
you're killing a living thing. Okay? Killing a living thing.
If it's a big, nasty horsefly.
Even if it's a big, nasty horsefly.
And if it bites you, you can get
bites, it's a different story.
Right.
Yeah. But we're just talking about annoying ones. Let's talk about annoying bugs. Okay? They're just annoying. Okay? So, on Chol HaMoed, right? If that thing's bugging you, that's called a need for Yontif. That wasn't meant to be. No? If it's causing you tsar, if that insect, if that fly is causing you tsar, it's causing you distress, it's annoying you, that's called a need for Chol HaMoed, and you can do it. But if you get a kick out of, you know, stepping on ants or, you know, anything like that, then, you know, harassing animals, harassing insects for the fun of it, that you would not be able to do on Chol HaMoed. However, if you have this insect that is causing you tsar, it's causing you distress, so alleviating yourself from that distress is called a need for the moed, for Chol HaMoed, you'll be able to do so.
And what about Yom Tov? Bees everywhere.
Can't kill it. See, bees...